We're going to get into this passage in just a moment. I'm going to go ahead and, we'll go ahead and hold it for now. One of the things that I've noticed over the last probably 4 or 5 months especially, being a person that's in graphic design and in marketing and the companies that I've worked for, my job has always been to try to garner interest in the company that I work for. I want people to see the company that I work for because I want them to buy products or buy services. And the way that I do that is to find interest in consumers that would have an interest in buying those products or services. When we relate that as a Christian to the church worldwide, but specifically here in Waynesville, what am I marketing as a Christian to others? How successful am I? And I will say this to the members here. There are so many that have done so much work. Again, we've talked about this before. Some of us get up here and preach. Some of us teach. But there's so many people that are in the audience, that are in the congregation, that do things day in and day out that aren't recognized. But each person, and I think we don't underscore the importance of the lesser vessels as we see in the New Testament passages, or those parts of the body that aren't so noble, that aren't so presentable, but they are still extremely vital to the success and health of the body. And it's the reason I bring all that up is because we keep getting more and more mail here. People are sending us things because they recognize there's a church in Waynesville that is doing something religious, that has a belief in God, and has a desire to seek and save the lost. Now, their view of what we do here may be different, but I think I like to walk back in the back and see a pile of mail. Some people see it as junk mail, but to me, as a person that's in marketing, is in advertising, saying, my role here is being recognized. Now, it's up to me and it's up to this congregation on how we are recognized by other people. But it's not just the mail we get. More and more Facebook stuff comes our way. More and more stuff comes to our email accounts. And so things are happening. People are seeing us, and I commend the congregation for that. But at the same time, I commend the congregation and myself. I need to remind us, we need to be very careful how we represent Christ here. In James chapter 2, verse 14 through 16, it says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? We've been bringing this passage up many times as we've discussed this and some of the worldviews and religious views of the world when we deal with Hebrews. And it says, can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself does not have works, but is dead. And so we transition over to our picture again. We started the first lesson off with this. Faith. As a congregation, back in the 50s, there were members that had faith that a building could be created, that a congregation could be started in Waynesville. There are places that Brad did his missionary work overseas, that they had faith that someone like him, including Brad, had faith that he could teach others about Christ. Each one of us have faith that we can accomplish things. Not just spiritually. We all have faith in something. If we do any job that has yet to be done, we have faith that we can accomplish it. And how we work at it depends on what we think the outcome will be. Here, again, as I pointed out on the bottom of this, in 1955, people had faith that that congregation, or that building for that congregation, could be constructed. Did it happen? Yes, it did. We saw the building up there on earlier. Continuing in James, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith with your work or without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well, even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Again, these ideas of building buildings, making plans, they are never going to come to fruition if the faith is not there. If you don't think that Mike Garrett Construction or any of the people that were involved in this building, it wasn't going to happen. We would not have trusted them with the Lord's funds to do this. Each one of us needs to have faith that something's going to be accomplished, because faith without works is dead. It's talked about that. I can have this idea. Oh, man, I got this great idea. I am going to be such a good Christian. I am going to teach. I'm going to make the best class teacher that I can in this congregation. I am going to give you guys the best sermons I can give. And that's always in my mind, but I never work at it. I never study the Scripture to become a better teacher. I never listen to the comments that are said in class because I think, I know it all. I only want to be what we talked again in class today. Milk is good enough for me. Kids, you like chocolate milk? Are you paying attention out there, kids? Raise your hands if you like chocolate milk. Okay, raise your hand if you're not allowed to have milk because of lactose intolerance. All right, we got hands out there. Okay, so bad example. But milk is good, right? Even as adults, most of us drink milk for our dinner. I like chocolate milk. I like strawberry milk. But if we keep on going with milk, and then we're trying to build our bodies, or we're trying to build a project, milk is not going to be enough for us. Our bodies will have a deficit of strength. This building, did they have faith to build it? Yes, they did. How did it get built? Did they just close their eyes and say, faith, 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 faith? No. They had to have action. Plans, money, time, ordinances, building permits. People had to be there. Certainly this building was probably put together on the hands of a lot of the members or the members of other congregations and not just hiring a builder. But here too, a lot of the things that were done here happened because of members showing their faith by their actions, by their work. How do we grow in class? I can tell you, when we first started that Hebrews class, we were a lot of people on milk. I think Brad smiles a lot of times. Many of you that are very familiar with Hebrews, I still shake my head sometimes at the things that I have become just molded into my being of what I think Hebrews is and forgetting about what Hebrews is about. Cody talks about it. Brad talks about it. We keep trying to remind each other, context, context, context. Who is this to? Who is it about? What were they going through? Oh, yeah. Even today, we've said it a million times. I think probably Brad's favorite thing to say in class, we've talked about this before, but it's hard to break. It's a pattern that we get into. But faith is like that, too. How far can I go as a Christian? I can go to church 3 times. That's all. Okay, well, you might accomplish that. Are we accomplishing that? We're here today, so that must be good. What else do you want to accomplish? Do you want to talk to your neighbor? Do you want to talk to your family member that you keep saying, they're never going to listen? Look at the examples in Scripture about impossible things that have happened. I'm scared of sometimes of a relationship that I know is knit together, but there's likely going to be a severing because of spiritual things. What is the gospel called? The gospel is the good news. Do we want to die? None of us do. Do you think the world wants to die? No. The fear of death is one of the probably the biggest thing for all of us. And it has always been. We talk about past, present, and future. It has always been, it is today, and it will probably always be one of people's greatest fears. What does the Christian have that nobody else does? A promise. A promise and a past showing that there is something that God gives Christians, that God gives His people that nobody else has. Skipping past this building, we'll go on here. James, continuing on. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son at the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. Or again, we see that word so often translated, made complete. And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by his works and not by faith only. Again, this passage, sometimes we don't look at deeply enough. We can all say, oh, I believe in God. My eyes are closed, I believe in God. One of the things that I used to hear a lot when I was younger is blind faith. God will take care of me. I'm closing my eyes. No, open your eyes and look around. It's one of the things David did, and so many of the Psalms say, look around out there. That is God. That is God. This is God. I am God. I'm a product of a person that we believe in that nobody else can explain. Nobody. So again, we talk about faith and we talk about works. If I had faith that building would happen, and we all had faith and we all went out there on that road and we were still worshiping the other building and we all held hands and we closed our eyes and we said, faith, 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 what would have happened? Everybody around here would have said, man, those people are crazy. But would that building have sprung up? It would not have. It would have stayed exactly where it was. What caused this building to happen? Faith that the building could happen. Faith that we could hire someone, that we could get agreement on what we needed, and we could build it. And that fruition was based on faith. Faith is the catalyst. The output is works. And this is certainly absolutely important in spiritual understanding. Continuing on, James chapter 2. Likewise was not Rahab the harlot also justified by her works? Again, that idea I keep talking about, qualified. We're talking about Christians being qualified. The same idea is applied to Rahab. Rahab was qualified by the works that she did, in that she received the messengers and sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Again, dead. If our plans, our faith, had no action, had no works, it would have ended just like that driveway. The road to nowhere. That's not what we want to portray in the people that we come in contact with the world. 1 Peter 1:20. He, indeed, was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Talking about Jesus. This idea of manifestation, we're reusing some of the images from before. What showed the difference between that driveway to nowhere and this building actually coming together? If I worked over at Pizza Hut, or I worked at the dollar store, or whatever the myriad of businesses have been in between there, and every day I went in and said, hey, they're doing something over there. Is that a product of faith, or is that a product of works? If every day they walked in and they saw us all gathered up, they're going, faith, 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 faith. They'll still say we're crazy, but they're also going to say they are accomplishing nothing, and they're of no use to anybody because they aren't doing anything. This shows that we are making application. When people look at us and they see us avoiding the things that are normal for people to do in the world, and we're not doing them, and we have a reason for that, they say, I understand. You're working your faith. What does the Bible tell us? It says, work out your salvation. That doesn't mean keep hoping that you do a good job, but it means actually apply what God's taught us. Philippians 3, starting with verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. Why? That I may lay hold for that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal of the prize, the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. You talk about a verse that represents today's lesson title, Past, Present, Future. I went through some difficult things. Paul went through some difficult things. He did some things. Sometimes I hear people say that Paul was just a bad person. He was not. When he was a Jew, he was the best of a Jew that he could be. The transition that happened to Paul was when he needed to recognize that every evidence says transition point, shadow reality. Out of this time to the Christian era, this is the promised one. That was the only place where he was not doing what he should have been doing. And at the present, that's when that was revealed to him. But for us, we should take consolation in what he's saying here. Hey, all this stuff's happened. It's all behind me. I can go to every person in here, my parents, myself, everybody, and say, you have got some bad things in your past, don't you? I did this, this, and this, and I can't believe I did it. I'm so sorry for that. Forget about it. What matters now is moving forward. But my family, I must not have been a good mom or dad, or as a grandparent, I just didn't do a good job. As an aunt or uncle, I should have had a better example. Stop. That is in the past. Today, the present and future is what we have to work with. God will be with us, and we talked about that in the first lesson. As long as you are doing God's will, He will not leave you or forsake you. Take Him, hold His hand, and move forward. That is a lesson to me. That's a lesson for all of us. Some of these pictures, I think, are a little bit funny, but this idea of completion, that is not a very attractive vehicle. I think every time I've ever seen an asphalt spreader, they just look horrible. But don't they accomplish great things? They're the ugliest things I think there ever were, but they actually take something that is just not pretty and make it very useful. Looking at these things here, I keep seeing where they drove through the yard, but look past that and see the vehicles that they got here. All these implements of destruction to accomplish something. You know, sometimes the world looks at us and they see Roger Starnes, and maybe they've had a bad experience with me. Maybe I was not the best example I could have been. Maybe I did something that was not Christian-like. What do they see? If I can get it to come up here. They see that. Ugh. Roger Starnes. Yeah, he did that. Is that what I'm going to always dwell on? Am I going to be wanting everybody to see the baggage in my background? Or will they want to see who I am trying to be, who I can accomplish to be? 1 Peter chapter 2, continuing on, coming to him as a living stone, we've been talking about stones all morning, rejected indeed by men. Now this is something else I underlined, both because I found it interesting, a new thing that I had not really looked at. Why would people reject a living stone? If you're a builder, would you like to have a stone that keeps changing shape, that's never consistent, that's maybe malleable, that doesn't stay in one place? No, as a builder, you want a stone that's going to look exactly like it is. When you put it in place and you put mortar around it, that is going to be something that you hope will hold everything up above that. A living stone is constantly in a state of flux. They don't want that. The world rejects that, as I underlined there. But a living stone is chosen by God when we're talking spiritual. And it is precious. You also, as living stones, not hard stones, not stones that are just like the hard hearts and the hard minds and the callous minds that we've talked about. Living stones, always growing. What makes us alive is the fact that we're constantly regenerating. I think if you remember your science class, they say every day so many millions of cells are replaced by new ones. Your body's a living entity, a living stone, if you will. And so as a Christian, we need to be like that too. We are built up a spiritual house. We're building too, just like those worldly people. But our house is living with stones that are constantly doing things, accomplishing things. And we talked about the priesthood today, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. So with those ugly things, just this the other day, those guys were taking that and they were doing our parking lot. Is it perfect? No, it's not perfect. We wish it was perfect. Nick's probably thinking back here, if you'd use the people that I recommended, it'd probably be perfect. Maybe so, but maybe not. Who knows? But that lot was being worked on. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His, God's, Christ's own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of Him who once called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I've brought this up in lessons before, and I've heard it from other people's lessons, and I've heard it from classes that we've talked about. How many of us are Jews? Raise your hand if you're a Jew. I doubt if anybody of us are, and even if we were, the percentage of pure blood Jew we have would be so small, it wouldn't even be countable. So what does that say? We're all Gentiles. What did the Jews think of Gentiles? What was God's attitude to Gentiles? They are not my people. Well, how does this verse work? How can Peter say that? You're a chosen people. You are the people of God. Well, he says that because you were not a people, you were not a Jew, but because of my promise, because of my love, because of what Christ did, you qualify. I've said that before. Qualify, qualify, qualify. Get that into your brain. We qualify as a Christian when we're doing what God wants us to do. We disqualify ourselves when we stop doing it. It could happen at any moment. As long as we're a Christian, that qualification is renewable. When we stop is the end of our life. So again, we're wrapping up here. I didn't have a great picture of the final building there, but this building is about as far as it's going to go. The inside's new. We've got carpeting. We've got walls. It's beautiful. It works well. It's heated, comfortable for most people. We've got windows. We've got classrooms. We've got a roof. We've got heat. We've got air conditioning. We've got a parking lot. We've got everything that it takes for this building. What's lacking? Past, present, future. There was a point that the other building was perfect. It was done. It was ready to go. It was ready to fill. And Glennon and Edith can tell you, Mike too, others, it was filled many times. What do we do from here? What do we do from now? The building is not what this church is. This building is a meeting place. I'm going to keep saying that. It is where we come together. But out there, if I go back here and I look out at all these houses back there, or I walk around Waynesville, or I get on Google Earth, and I look in the area of people that aren't very far away, and I count the number of Christians that are doing New Testament Christianity and performing it as God said, How many am I going to find? When Jesus said the harvest is white, it's ready to go, he's talking to us. He was talking to them at that time, but he's talking to us today. It is ready for reaping. It's ready for to take advantage of. This is where we're going to bring him into, but this is not where they're going to be saved. Salvation comes from the spiritual. In Revelations 20, verse 11 through 15, and I saw a great white throne, and again, please probably take this more as a thought than specific details on what Revelations is. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. Remember what we talked about, those plans for a building. How do you build the building that you want? Follow the plan. Well, God's got a plan for all creation. It's going to end, and he's going to record what you do with your life. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works. What? Judged according to their works? I thought all they needed to do was faith. They should be judged to their faith. They believed in God. They want to go to heaven. That's all we need to do. No. They were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. What was written? A detail of their life. A detail of what they accomplished. A detail of what they did. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. They were judged, what? Each one according to his works. They were not judged, and we see this in Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament. I am not going to be judged by my mom and dad. I am not going to be judged by any of you. I am not going to be judged by anything except for Roger Starnes and what he's done. And remember, we've talked about this in the first lesson. We talked about this in class. The discerner of the soul and spirit is the Word of God. God knows everything that we do, whether we tell people about it or not. When we sit in our seats and the invitation's up here and it says, you've got a problem, let it be known. And we all sit there thinking, man, I really should go forward, but I'm not going to. God knows that. God knows what's in our heart. And some things we can deal with God that way, but sometimes we need help. We need remediation. We need groups of people to know, I'm struggling here. The sea gave up the dead in them. Death and Hades delivered up the dead in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Talk about a period to a sentence. That's it. There's nothing past that. So again, we put this picture back up here again. Our building, our sign, represents who we are in Waynesville, the Church of Christ in Waynesville. What do they know about us? How can we tell them about us? How can we tell them about God and Christ? Well, how can we grow? Part of the body's growth is in numbers. We don't want numbers to have numbers. We want numbers for the saved. I had a couple other things on here that I kind of pulled out. One of them we've read a little bit of. But I want to go back and read this whole thing. I only did a part of it. Paul says in Philippians, not that I've already attained or have already perfected, but I press on that I may lay a hold for that which Christ has laid a hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehend it, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things are which ahead. I talked about that past, present, and future. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So how do we do that? Therefore, the magic word in the New Testament and throughout the Bible. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. And that just is so powerful to me, is this idea of keeping going, keeping moving, and not stopping. So when you leave here today, and every time that you drive by this building, most of us live close by, and you look at this building, I want you to ask yourself, what does the people around this building know about me? What do the people around this building know about Christ and the church? Is it just another sign that says God? Is it just another sign that says we worship three times a week? Do they only know what's out there on the sign? Another question, do we carry the baggage of the things that we've dealt with in the past? Maybe you've had a bad experience as a Christian. Brock has talked about a number of times that he's run into difficult situations with people that were members of the church. Do we focus on that or do we move on? We learn from those things. They say one of the best things that you can do about the past is learn from it. What happens if you don't learn from the past? You repeat it. That's one thing I've heard from social studies all the way to adulthood, even to now. Don't repeat the past. people that don't look at the past repeat the past. So how do we grow forward? How do we go? Two things. One, press forward, focus on God, and remember what David was saying to Solomon. If you don't let go of God, you are never going to stop having him on your side. But as soon as you let go, and he did, Solomon let go of God, and the women, the wealth, the things that God had given him became snares to him. He didn't get back to God until what we see towards the very end. I pray that the lesson today, the images have been useful to you. I will take a time, and I'm a little bit scared to do it with every one of the kids. But I look around, I see Braden, I see Cole, I see Milena, I see Emma, Jacob, Mackenzie. Thank you. Denali. I thought of it earlier. For whatever reason, I start thinking about mountains and I just lose my mind. I think about Adam. And I see Kara and the other young people that are here today. You are the future church if you follow the pattern that your parents or grandparents or mom and dad have set before you. If I'm doing a bad job today, you may not be a Christian. You may lose your Christianity. You may walk away from God. You young people like to sing, like to smile, like to be here. I love all the kids. I adore them. I just really enjoy spending time with them. One, because I just love them. I love that they're a product of God, that they're so animated. But secondly, I love them because you are what you're going to carry from me. But everything that you have is going to be a product of everybody that's here. Your parents, everything that they put on you is what you're going to go into life with. My parents, same for me. So I try to do that with everyone, to be thoughtful about that. No matter what our ages are, there's somebody that was ahead of us, going back to that link that I've talked about so many times. What are you doing with the link? Do you have gaps? Do you have rust? Is the connection bad? You know, you can fix a link by welding it. You can fill in the problems. And that's what it takes sometimes as a Christian. So this morning, past, present, and future, the past is gone. The past is for our learning. Even the New Testament talked about that. The prophets, the Old Testament, the law of Moses was for our learning. It was our schoolmaster. But that's not good if we don't use it. Part of faith with works is using that instruction. And so this morning, as you think about this building, you think about the old building or any building, think about your Christianity. Think about what it's constructed of today. And think about what it'll take to have that construction last into the future. If you have any needs, please let those be known. And don't just listen to this as blah, blah, blah. If you have needs, please let it be known. And if you need to deal with God in prayer, work on it. Work on our salvation. Thank you.